Well, we're continuing on in the series. This is our final week of The Unseen World, and really looking at the spiritual battle with a focus on prayer. And as we look at that, one of the things I really want us to really get a solid feel for and a real depth of understanding of what it means in everyday life is our position in Christ. Guys, when we stand, when we go throughout life, as we're hitting the challenges that come before us, and we are in that spiritual battle, and we are going to our knees in prayer, and we are always to claim our position in Christ. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time on that, because as we've said before, authority is the right to rule. Authority is the right to rule, but power is the ability to rule. And so we have in Christ authority because he has authority to rule. And so we are in Christ. And we also have the power to rule because we are in Christ. Because Christ is the one who has conquered death, who has conquered sin. And so in him, I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And so when we come up in that spiritual battle against the enemy, we have both authority and power. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. In his mighty power. So, what does this mean for our position in Christ? We are identified in Christ. We're identified with him in his death. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are identified with him in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and in his ascension, in his life, in his power, and in his inheritance. And I wanted to look for a little bit here. We're identified with him in his power. Ephesians 1:19 says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I love that. I will pray that you understand the incredible greatness of his power. As his power is so great in us. Has anybody here ever been physically healed of anything? I have. Raise your hand proudly. Has anybody here ever been healed in a relationship that you were praying about? How about experience spiritual healing? We have a God that is involved in every single area of our lives. And he's got not only the authority, but the power to transform life, to transform us and to transform our situation. And not only are we identified with him in power, but in his inheritance. Guys, we have something to look forward to, and that gives us such a great and exciting joy, and it also gives us a peace in the midst of the struggle. And so, how does the enemy then try and hit us? How does the enemy try and take us out of the place of truth? He tries to affect our minds. He tries to affect and come in and bring destruction and chaos to our minds. And so there's a battle that's going on for our minds, and that battle is a constant battle. And we are in this spiritual battle day after day. And if we go to our own strength, we're in trouble. But in Christ, we have victory over the battle. And I love this. This is our main scripture for today. And this is as Jesus was praying for his disciples. And he says, as he's preparing them and praying for them, he says this: I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. This is prayer is for the disciples is the same as his prayer for us. We are we're on a battlefield. Do you realize that there is a reason that you don't feel full joy, that there is something inside of you that is craving something else, that there's something inside of you that needs something more than what you experience in this life, in this world, because we were not made for this world. We are made for eternity. We were made to be in the presence of God for eternity. And the reason we desire something more is because we were made for something more. I think so often there's this idea for Christians that, oh, we just need to be, you know, just happy with what we... No, that's denying truth. That's denying reality. Can I be content? Yes. But I have to understand that that yearning inside of me is God implanted. I was made to be right with you and right with him. And there is an enemy who has brought in discord. And so we are truly on the battlefield. And so we need to really be thinking, how do we renew our minds? How do we come to a place where our hearts are right? Because God has a plan, but the plan that God has is not to remove the disciples or us from this earth, out of the battle. His plan is to be with us and to preserve us and make us strong in the midst of the conflict. War is ugly. Right? War is ugly. Battles are bloody. There's a lot of destruction in war. And so we need to be aware that as we come into the spiritual realm, as we're dealing with eternity, we have to be on our knees, guys. We have to have not only be going at, like, you know, for praying for meals and things, but a heart of prayer. And a heart of dependence on God. That dependence is so, so important. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let me start with verse 15 to give it a little more context. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. What does sanctify mean? It means to be set apart for a special use. Not set apart to be solely by self and just amongst itself, but set apart for a special use, which is what? To live out the truth in such a way that it blesses those who are also in the light, who are following Jesus, and that it's a light unto those who are still in darkness. We are called to be set apart, not to be of ourselves, but we are set apart to be God's light, his representation to the world. And one of the challenges that we have to be careful of is the idea that in the battle, we protect me and mine. We protect ours. Okay, so we're safe inside the church. So guys, let's get inside the church and let's huddle and let's get ready to keep everything out. That's not what we're talking about at all. And sometimes the church has been guilty of that, hasn't it? Of just trying to bring in and focus on what we're doing, and the church as a whole has at times throughout history missed the mark. But just like the Hebrew people, the tribe of Israel, just like God's chosen people, he called them what? To be a light, to take his truth and shine it to the world. But what do we know happened? They took that light and they shined it on themselves. And they started making up their own rules and their own laws apart from God's truth and law. Guys, in the spiritual battle that we're in, we have to be so careful, because what is the truth that we follow? The pastor's idea? The elder's ideas? And where is that truth found? The Word. Anything that comes from me that's not supported by the Word of God, discard instantly. It's of zero value. Now, I'll share stories, I'll share things that are a part of my life, but they point to the truth of God's Word. But anything that goes against the Word of God, we need to keep that up and just put that away. Not only for me, but from when that challenge comes from the world. And guys, we look around and we're seeing what's happening, and every single person has strong opinions. Even if you're very shy, have a very shy personality and you don't know how to get those opinions across. We all have opinions. We all have what I call a worldview. And that worldview is shaped by how we grow up and what we experience and what our parents teach us, or lack of parents or grandparents or guardians, or how we experience life. The people who speak into our lives. And with all this noise, guys, right now, I mean, the people are shouting their truths from the rooftops. And I want to encourage us. How do we come in and not judge our brother, not judge the people in community, not judge those who are hurting, but how do we live the life of Christ? And through prayer, get in a mindset to where we can meet people right where they're at, as Jesus did. Where we can share the truth in love. And sometimes, guys, that truth is going to be hard to hear. But if we share the truth in love, and we're praying, some seeds at least can be planted. So I want to ask you this. You guys had a time of being home at Thanksgiving. I was really praying, God, you know, sometimes when you go and you're with family, there's conversations that are hard and difficult. And you've often got family members that there's a lot of old history with, right? And here I'm Pastor Matthew. When I go home, I'm the youngest brother of three boys. And it's a very different world. And quite honestly, I don't always like going back to being the youngest of three brothers. I don't like the what goes with that sometimes. Sometimes I've gotten kind of used to Pastor Matthew, right? And it feels kind of good to have it. You know, if I walked into Thanksgiving and I said, hey, you guys can refer to me as Pastor Matthew. They would look at me. First, I think they would just toss me out and lock the door. But if I was allowed back in, I'd get ribbing on it all night long. And rightfully so. We've just spent time with family. How did it go? How did it go? Let me also ask you this. How did it go in your hearts and minds if you didn't spend time with family, not because of what your options were, but because you chose not to, because of broken relationships? And one of the things I want to get very kind of how the authority and power of Christ in our lives and transforming our minds changes our hearts and minds in such a way that we can take some shots. Because we're called to be servants. We're called to be living sacrifices from Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're called to be living sacrifices. That means we don't be doormats for people, but we don't fear going where angels fear to tread, because Christ is in us. We don't fear going where relationships are difficult. And so Guys, I realize this is a challenging subject, and so I approach this with great humility because I approach it with much failure on my part. I've had many times where I've gone in, I've even gone in prayer, and I've come out a little bloodied up and very discouraged because my game plan was put aside, my prayerful heart in the moment of those conflicts was challenged, and I spoke out of my flesh. For us, this Thanksgiving, praise God, it was a wonderful time. I can't say that's always been the case. And so the reason I share these personal things, and the reason I share this is because authority and power that we can have that in everyday real life, in the relationships we have, in the broken relationships that we have. And we can experience victory, and it can be sweet. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Guys, we have a calling. Not only are we to do, to honor God in how we live, we are being sent. So if I'm not willing to go into community, if I'm only willing to stay in the four walls of the church, I'm being disobedient to God. Because we have been sent by Christ. We have a game plan, a strategy for the battle. And that is what? During Sunday, to do what? For the saints, for those who are believers, to equip ourselves with the truth of the word, to be encouraged and built up, and then to be in the word daily, and to be spending time with God in prayer, and to go into community, into our spheres of everyday life, and bring that truth with us. Because we are the ambassadors for Christ, and it is a battle that is taking place. We belong to the heavenly kingdom, and Jesus prays for their sanctification. Guys, Jesus is praying for us. He didn't just pray for the disciples, he prays for us. Think about that. I tell you, when I think about that one aspect, I'm encouraged because I know I have a God not who is only is involved with my life. He's actively praying for me. And you guys, think about when you pray for somebody, why do you pray for them? Because your heart's needing to share with God what's going on, and you're yearning. There's a need to pray. It must take place. And so there's a hand, and you start praying. Because why? Because of love. We are loved by our Lord and Savior. A believer is to be distinct from the world's sin, from its values, from its goals. It's to be separated from that. And man, to know that we have a Savior who is actively praying for us. I don't know about you, but there are times where I need his strength, and I need that goodness and that power and authority. You know, one of the things about power and authority, one of the things I love about, I just found out this morning that Thomas was a player of the game. And so that was pretty cool. And it was so much fun watching O'Day play Bellevue and just this game where we were behind most of the time and it would come back a couple times near the end and then they'd go ahead and on the last drive we go and tie it and it goes overtime and then double overtime and it was exciting. One of the things that I enjoy so much about watching my son play football is Thomas hits. You know, he's 5'10 and what, 170, 180, maybe 180 if he's wet and well fed. And but man, he plays safety and he hits so hard. And he was on play after play after play where even safety all the way back, and they're a running team, he was the first guy there to hit him. I was just like, how does he travel so far in such a short, small amount of time? But what I love so much is after he just smacks somebody so hard and they go down, over and over, he bends and helps them up.
Good man.
And I love that aspect. And there's a mindset for us in the battle that we are called to be warriors for Christ. But we're to do it in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And so as we fight the battle, we do it in love. We give everything we have. But we honor the people around us in the moment. And so as people bring lies, are they our enemy? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and authorities and principles of darkness in this world. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people who are not in Christ Jesus. Our battle is with the enemy who is bringing lies and deception and leading people away from the truth and the love of God. And so as we hit with all we have against the enemy, we lovingly reach out to people. And as lies are brought to be truth, because the world right now, it's got an opinion. And if we stand for biblical principles, guess what happens? We are mocked. We are considered old-fashioned. We are considered dangerous. And really, it's been amazing over the last like 20 years to see how more and more, it's been happening for a lot longer than that, but how more and more what is true is being told to be a lie and what is a lie is being hailed as true. And so how do we stand? Well, we have to have that attitude of being in the battle, knock down and help us stand for truth lovingly. Means not come against people who speak things that aren't true, but how to speak truth and love to them and how to stand for truth in a way without attacking the person. The person is who's bringing lies is not evil. They were created in the image of God. And so I want to encourage you in your prayer life. This is something that I think may help your prayer time. As you're praying, don't pray for God's wrath on the person. Pray for his grace, just like you've received grace. But pray for them to have an ability to hear truth. Pray for your heart that you would, right now, God, I am having a hard time. This person has said these things at work about me, and it's not true. They've said these things in my family about me. They're not true. But you know what, God? Help me love this person right now because I'm having a hard time doing it. So change me, God. Change my mind so that I don't want to battle back and say, see, I'm of value. But change my heart so that I can love them and stand for your truth in a way that builds them up and honors them. Guys, we can honor people while disagreeing with them. If you hear nothing else, hear that. We can honor people while disagreeing with them, and we're called to. We're called to stand for truth. Just a quick example of David here. David, a man fully, wholly devoted to God. He knew what it was to experience deception. When Satan moved him to to number Israel. He was not supposed to. He was trying to show his authority and his power and his rule. And so he sends out a census and has his kingdom numbered. And in 1 Chronicles 21:1, it says, Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. David, a man after God's own heart. David, a warrior king. David, a man who had followed God in ways that I just am in awe of. And here he is. Satan rose up against Israel. Now, who is Satan against there? The people, right? The people. And caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So David is being influenced by Satan. And the reason that Satan is trying to influence David is because his attack, his enemy, is the people. Because the enemy, Satan, and the demonic forces stand against God and truth. So, boy, I want to encourage us. Know that when you are in this battle, you are not alone. Every single one of us experiences victory and failure and defeat. And I want to encourage you with one thing in defeat, and that is this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't beat yourself up if God doesn't beat you up for it. Rather than beating ourselves up, humbling ourselves before God and saying, and asking for forgiveness so that our hearts and minds are right, renewing our minds through being humble in Christ and praying, and Father, forgive me, stating the truth. Because, guys, as soon as we go to truth, we're on home field advantage. And we state the truth of where we failed, what struggle we had. And my prayer is that if there's anyone here who's kind of hurting from being with family, because it's not always easy, and there's a lot of often old pain that's there, or if there's anybody here who's struggling from not being with family because of broken relationships, that the enemy wouldn't use this time to bring you to a place to where you're just feeling condemned and discouraged and... But if there's anything in your heart that needs to be made right, you would go to the foot of the cross. You would go to the feet of Christ Jesus and remember where our dependence needs to be. We need to be dependent on Christ Jesus in every single battle. Otherwise, we have no authority and no power. And what do you have when you have no authority and no power and you're in a battle? You suffer great loss. You suffer great loss. The sin was David's. He alone must bear the blame of it. But we're told that Satan caused the trouble, although only by God's permission. And here's also another truth about that. In God's limits. There's consequences for David's sin. Guys, when we sin, there's always consequence for that sin. Are we forgiven in Christ? Yes. But forgiveness doesn't take away the consequence of the sin. But it does give us peace and wholeness in the midst of dealing with, okay, now we move forward in that. Yes, I sinned. But I am not defined. My identity is not that sin. Our identity is in Christ Jesus and Him alone and what He's done on our behalf. And so then we come to that truth. We're renewed in that truth. I am not my sin. My sin does not define me. I am a new creation in Christ. And the old is gone. The new has come. Renewed. The mind is being renewed. Truth is coming back in. And now truth comes back in. And if I need to go and say, I'm so sorry for what I did. I can do it. Why? My mind is renewed. Or if I just need to be whole in the midst of it, maybe I even go and I say, I'm sorry. And they say, I don't care. I can still be whole in Christ. Yeah. And now my heart isn't, well, you don't care. But that's, rather than that reaction, it can be, God, how broken are they that I can't receive this? I pray for this person that they would be healed so they could experience the blessing of coming back together in right relationship. Because we can affect our side of things in this battle by renewing our minds. We can't change other people. But guess who can? Guess who can lead others into truth? So we go to prayer. We pray to the one who can bring the blessing. And our hearts are so changed that we see the one who hurts us as the one who's hurting. We see the one who's trying to break others as the one who's broken. And our hearts yearn for blessing for them. And now, rather than wanting God's wrath on them, we're wanting God's love for them. Guess what happened? We've been changed. The renewing of our minds means we go to the Word of God, and the Word of God changes us what? From the inside out. It changes what truth is. And so now, they're not where my battle is. Oh my goodness. Now our hearts yearn for their blessing. Now we're looking for opportunities to have that relationship made right, even if it's a struggle. And now our ability to be long-suffering is growing. Our ability to forgive those who don't want it is blessed. The renewing of the mind. The Bible teaches us that we are to use our minds actively and not passively. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15 and 16. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Think of that. We're called to one body and what? Peace. Peace is very difficult to achieve. And be thankful. I love that. And be thankful. Guys, we just celebrated being thankful. And that's a good place to be. If your heart and mind is in a place of, I didn't, I need, I pray. Pray that God renews your mind so that rather than being a victim, we are whole in Christ. Rather than being used by others, we see their brokenness and we speak God's love and truth into that. Verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. I love that. Richly. Let it just seep in. Let it become part of your DNA. Richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdoms through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Back to that heart of gratitude. But look at that. We're to, as it's becoming part of our DNA, it becomes that as we teach and admonish. Anybody, what does admonish mean? Admonish gets a bad rap. This is the picture we have with admonish. What is the fuller meaning? To help correct somebody into rightness, into right thinking, into truth. And so our goal is to help correct, as parents, we admonish, we help correct our children into what was causing them and others around them trouble, and we're to help redirect them into what's going to bless them and help them bless others. And so as we do that with one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and you know what I get from that? From these words of instruments of song? the joy of it, the pleasure, the dance of it, the harmony, the blessing of it. Anybody, you guys ever rock out? I love rocking out. I love putting on music that I love and going crazy. Man, there's something just, damn. That's right, when Alexia came to the Lord was when we were doing a family dance and we were rocking out and jamming and in the living room. And anybody visit us at the time, they'd think we were crazy. And Alexia taps me on, I need Jesus right now. Doing like, yeah. What? I need Jesus right now. We go into the other room. She receives the Lord. We come out, share, we celebrate, and we dance some more. Guys, that the message of Christ dwells in us so richly that as we bring that in to help teach and equip each other, there's a dance that takes, there's a joy that happens, there's a pleasure. Honoring God is full of pleasure. The greatest way to glorify God is by enjoying Him, by loving Him back. It's not about duty. It's not about trying harder and doing it right and following the rules. If I just get it right, if I can just figure it out, that has nothing to do with Jesus and faith. That's religion. That's religion, and religion is dead. Relationship with Jesus Christ is life, and it's enjoying Him and being, when you're loved, you feel like you're 10 feet tall. You feel like you can move mountains. Man, it's a good feeling. And just, man, you're ready for anything. Any spiritual battle that comes our way. Because we're in the dance, we're in the music of it. We're enjoying God, we're in the pleasure of His presence. And we're ready for anything that comes. And lastly, to prepare your mind for action. Be ready. Know it's coming. As a warrior, you want to be ready for the battle. 1 Peter 1:13 says, so prepare your minds for action. I love that. Prepare for action. I love action movies. I love when the bad guy gets it. Because he deserves to get it, and he gets it, and it feels good. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Get ready, but you know what? Don't get so ready that you're all worked up. Prepare and be prepared. Put all your hope. Listen to that. All your hope. Hope is powerful. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. All our pleasure, all our planning, all our hope, all our love is in what Jesus has done and is doing and will do. And that's where our hope comes from, is He's got a place for us. All the pain that we're feeling now, all the struggle that we're going through now is nothing in comparison to the pleasure that will be in full one day. Guys, that's the good news. That's the gospel. That this world is not our home. God has prepared us for something more. Pleasure in Him. Joy in Him. Prepare. We need to prepare our minds for action. Get ready for what God has for us. Let's hit hard. But let's help up. Let's get in the battle and love people well. Let's live for Christ and not for our own gain and our own pleasure. Let's renew our minds in the truth of the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. God, Man, what a joy it is to be in your presence, to experience your goodness, your pleasure. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, one of the challenges with being a believer a long time is that we start getting so comfortable in things that we forget those basic truths. Let us go back to the basics of who we are in you. Our identity, our new identity is in you. So the things of this world can't break us. We don't have to fall. We can stumble. We don't have to lay splat on the ground. We can get quickly up. Father, I pray for each one here, and especially for those who are struggling through this message, possibly, Lord. For those who are dealing with a heart and a mind of discouragement, of disappointment, of frustration. Lord, be with them especially. Encourage them. Speak your truth, the truth of your word into them. Lord, I pray for everyone here who had a hard time this Thanksgiving. Lord, renew their strength, renew their minds. Father, encourage them in this truth, the truth of your word. Father, we pray for all of us that you would show us a little bit more, because of your word today, how to die a little bit more to ourselves and how to love those who are a little harder to love, how to connect with people who see us as the enemy, how to pray for those who want to bring junk against us, how to be like you. Father, thank you for thank you that we don't pray to a God who doesn't know what we're talking about. That we don't pray to a God way up there and out there. But we pray to a God who loved us so much that he humbled himself and became flesh. Fully man, fully God. God, I don't fully understand it. But that you were willing to humble yourself and live a life experiencing what we experience, the temptation, yet without sin. Experiencing the challenges that we go through. So that when we pray to you, God, you know what we're talking about through personal experience. You hear our hearts and you feel our burden and you lovingly respond in your truth. Father, I pray for freedom for this church family. I pray for freedom from anger, from brokenness, from pain, from Lord, I pray for freedom from shame for the things we've done and for hurt for the things that were done to us, and that those things wouldn't define us, but there would be wholeness in you and forgiveness where it needs to be given and peace and joy, even though sometimes the trials still continue. But we know, Lord, that you allow the trials and you don't allow more than what we can take. And so we're grateful for that. And our strength is in you. And we choose to live in the truth of your word and not in the lie of the enemy. Show us how to live it out a little bit better this week. A little bit more of you, a little bit less of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.